And welcome into another great edition of Sports Club. Of course, that makes me Jeremy the Impact York. Thanks for tuning in. I've already called today's episode Band Together. We'll get into that here in a minute. Obviously, we will recap the Colts-Falcons game and my thoughts from that. We'll preview this week's Falcons game as well. We'll talk a little bit about the saga that is Antonio Brown that I'm honestly almost sick of talking about, but it's interesting, it's entertaining, and I want to put my two cents in about it. Let's see. Also, we'll recap the guest picks. You know, last week we had Miami fan Corey Barney with the picks. We'll tell how he stacked up, how we did against each other. And this week we have Cowboys super fan. I've watched a lot of Cowboys games with this guy, and he's a super fan of the show. You hear me talk about him a lot. Keel Coleman actually is going to be picking. He's the guest picks this week. We will get into those. And yes, since this is one of the odd times that we're actually doing the show on a Friday, I'm going to talk a little bit about last night's game because it went how I thought it would. And I'll get into that. But first, let's talk about knucklehead Antonio Brown, because yeah, that's exactly what he is. He's a diva receiver. Right now he's just a diva. He's an unemployed receiver because he can't keep his mouth shut or whatever's going on with him. I mean, at this point, maybe that he might have a condition. He might want to get checked out or something. I don't know. But basically from last week, Antonio Brown got released from the Patriots. Why did he get released? Well, he's got at least three pending cases we know about sexual misconduct of some kind. Depends on the case. Apparently, these people all do have legs to stand on as far as credible evidence. They haven't been thrown out, you know, cases, nothing like that. These are all legitimate, seems like. Things are heading his way. But that's a whole different discussion. Seems like the courts have those handled, so there's no reason for me to get into them. But three separate ones, even if one sticks, and I'm not saying the other two are making it up, because we've all seen some of this evidence. But if even one does, that tells me all I need to know. And in my opinion, if even one of them sticks, then I don't think you should be in the league. If Ray Rice can't get a job, then I don't think Antonio Brown should have one. I don't care if how good he is. We have to set this example. We have to let other people know and other generations know that this kind of behavior is unacceptable. Seems like to me his fame got to his head. He thought he was invincible and did what he wanted to do. That's the unfortunate part, is that it created victims. People's lives who are rattled that it didn't need to be rattled. These people didn't do anything to deserve that. But, anyway. So, in this time, he's basically a spurned, fired employee at this point. He, at one point, blamed the owners in the NFL, vowed he was not going to play in the NFL. He has since reversed course on that and said, yeah, on second thought, no, I'm not necessarily done playing. I'm just getting some things in order. Right. Uh-huh. Because you've done such a good job of that so far. In fact, in order to, I guess, try to restore his image at this point, which is, I mean, if you're part of his team, then I totally understand that. But, you know, you're trying to do it so your client can make money. But he's actually enrolled in college. I guess he's going to take online courses or something. I don't know. It's just smoke and mirrors, guys. He's trying to distract you from, you know, never mind. Don't pay no attention to the guy behind the curtain, to the man behind the curtain. Yeah. Just total crap. Like I said, if these things are true, he don't deserve to be in the league. And that's kind of my two cents on it. If he does have a medical or mental thing going on, then he should get help. But beyond that, there's no place in the league for people like this, because everybody in the league, whether you want to be or not, you know, I harpen back all the time to the Charles Barkley thing, where Charles Barkley says, we're not role models. Well, you are. Because whether it's, you know, a little kid or whether it's one of us, when we turn on and watch our favorite players play, our favorite teams play, they're setting an example like, man, I want to be like this guy because he does this. All the kids, what are they doing? They're all doing one-handed grabs because of Odell Beckham. Are they practicing their Kyler Murray run? No. They might buy his jersey. You know, adults are the ones buying the Daniel Jones jersey at this point. But it's because he's the newest sensation. The kids are still copying the big, flashy players. So, you know, Antonio Brown doing this is not looking good. It's showing kids that this is acceptable, and it's not. But, like I said, that's my two cents. I'm going to move on from it. I want to move to happier things. Today's episode is called Band Together. And it is it was inspired by last weekend in my new hometown here, Buckhannon, Georgia. There was a thing called the Fried Pie Festival. Now, they have festivals and shindigs all throughout the year. Car shows, all kinds of fun things out on the town square. It's really cool. And, you know, being a semi-new resident to the area, I try to go to a lot of these because they're fun. They're different. I grew up going to these kinds of things. But what I realized when I went there is that the surrounding area, because this is about the third different festival I've went to this year out in this area, what I realized was no matter background, poverty level, no matter how much money you make or where you work or political affiliation, none of that kind of stuff. What did everybody do? They banded together. We ate fried pies together. We listened to good music, looked at some cool arts and crafts, just enjoyed being outside. It really wasn't that hot. You know, plenty of moonwalks and stuff for the kids. Like I said, there were, you know, the dance groups and such like that. It's just a fun little town shindig. Is the whole area banding together. Like I said, who cares what your differences were? You just come out, you eat some pies, you have a good time. Well, there are teams that need to do this. They need to band together. Not just to save their season, but, well, mainly to save their season. One of those teams is the Atlanta Falcons. There's a couple other ones. We'll get into them in a second. But the Atlanta Falcons. The general census I'm getting from, or consensus rather, that I'm getting from fans, a lot of you guys think this has to do with Dan Quinn. I will give him part of the vote. I feel like, because there are other teams in the league where I know that the entire room listens to the head coach from the time he walks in. You can say all you want about the Washington franchise, about their owner, or any of the things there, or even as bad as they're playing right now and as lost as they look at times. They still play as a team. The Miami Dolphins are still playing as a team. And you know why? Because Brian Flores in Miami, because Jay Gruden in Washington, when they walk in a room, everybody goes, hey, everybody be quiet, coach is here. What you got, coach? They listen to him. I'm not convinced. Now, somebody who's in the locker room, if you want to chime in and say otherwise, go for it. But I'm not 100% sure that this team, they might be behind Dan Quinn, but I don't know that they're listening to him. Because now he's running the defense. So the defense that keeps giving up big points and which ultimately lead to these losses. You know, it's I just I'm starting to agree. And one fan even told me, if this goes south, I said, because I told him, I said, I think if you miss the playoffs this year, I think you're going to end up with a new coach. And he said, I think we're going to get a new GM too. I tend to agree. This would be the, what, second or third coach Dimitrov has been a part of. As good as he's been, yeah, they might try to shake it up. But I don't want to doom and gloom because the season's not lost. They can still band together and absolutely get behind this. Another team that needs to band together. Like I said, I just gave you two examples of ones that already have. The Arizona Cardinals, just because they're not winning many games, you can tell they're playing. They like the situation. They like Kyler Murray. They you know like their coach. There are teams out there that are doing playing together. You know, people like to think that Riverboat Ron Rivera in Carolina is not a good coach and can't pivot quickly. Really? Okay, well, his starting quarterback, Cam Newton, can't go. He immediately puts in a guy who I believe up until now had one start in his life, and that was last year, his rookie year. And team looked pretty good. The Panthers, as far as playing together as a team and rallying around their coach or a key player, I think the Panthers are ahead of the Falcons in that capacity. Now, as far as who's the better team right now, yeah, the Falcons are. But if they don't band together, I'm not sure there's much we can really do about it. I think we'll be watching a new coach come in. And, I don't know who it is. Jerry Gruden will be available, but I don't see them going in that direction. But yeah, Falcons fans, let's get into this. How about the game versus the Colts? It was actually a pretty good game. And the fact that they stayed with the Colts the entire game tells me this team is a lot better than their record shows. To start with, the Colts were using Marlon Mack for early awareness, just pounding it on Atlanta. Of course, there was the Ricardo Allen hit. Was it on purpose? No. Should he have stayed in the game? No. I think you got to set the precedent there. That it wasn't an egregious hit, but I do think it pretty unnecessary. And but I mean, stayed in the game. It didn't really affect the outcome. But you gotta start making a better example of those plays, or they're just gonna keep happening. The Colts were up 10-0 after the first quarter. They also won the second. As I said, they won it 10-3. So at halftime, it's 20-3. This is where there was a spark, and the spark was the second half of this game. The spark that shows this team's not ready to call it quits. Because you're down 20-3. A lot of people pack it in at that point. The Falcons actually did. Because in the third, they put points on the board and cut the lead. It was 20-10 going into the fourth. Matt Ryan started to look a little shaky early, and then it clicked. There was that moment. It was a halftime adjustment. I'm not sure exactly. I mean, This was where Dan Quinn might have went in there and rallied the troops. The goal line defense after the Ryan interception was really good. And something I just don't get why they don't emphasize more, the Falcons are way better off and do so much better when Julio Jones and Devontae Freeman are involved heavily. They tried to get Freeman a couple times, and then it was just like, let's force the ball to Julio. And then things started to actually turn around. The Keanu Neal injury is unfortunate. He did rupture his Achilles. He is out for the rest of the year, and that's after missing the majority of the year last year with, I believe, an ACL. That's really unfortunate because he is a key cog in this defense. I mean, I think they're going to be okay, but you're always better for having a player like that on the field. As far as the penalty that was called, it was unfortunate that they called it, but injured or not, you cannot take your helmet off while you're on the field of play and even remotely toss it in a general direction. He didn't toss it at anybody, but you can't throw your helmet. That's a rule. Because if they don't call it on him there, then somebody who throws it at an opponent or a referee or a fan, even, potentially, is bad. So you can't encourage that kind of behavior, and you have to discourage it. So I don't like that they called that penalty either, but it got called. It is what it is. It didn't actually affect the game. So there was a solid open drive in the second half for Atlanta. They're really grinding it out, which I think is the type of team they are. They're not a flashy team. They're a just beat you up, beat you up, beat you up, and just chip away. And that's when they seem to play better. The halftime adjustments, as I said, it seemed to turn around. Atlanta was hanging around, and it wasn't because the Colts were letting them. The Colts were trying to push ahead. The Colts grinded out a drive for a touchdown with about 8-plus to go. And then the Atlanta penalties just started just mounting up. And I'm not even talking about the helmet one. Just so many penalties. The Colts end up winning this 27-24. At times, I could argue that it should have been a lot more. At times, I could have said the Falcons could have won this. But they didn't. Now, what does that mean for this week? Well, this week they get the Tennessee Titans. I think the Titans and Atlanta are very much in the same boat. They are way better than the actual record they have. They have a few little missteps that are kind of holding them back. And they both absolutely need this game. But only one team can win. And I'll talk about it in a minute when we get into the picks. But to recap, or to go back to teams that need to band together right now. I don't know, the fact that the Jets are, I don't know, it looks like they're openly trying to beat Miami to the number one pick. That's just weird. I see the Cleveland Browns need to band together and quit being a bunch of different individuals. I would say the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are 0-3 and still, I mean, they're still not out of it, but they're not really in it. I would say the LA Chargers are a team that need to band together at 1-2, watching Kansas City fly past everybody. Nobody in the North. And yeah, that's pretty much the teams I'm going to stick with there. I'm going to stick with Cleveland, Pittsburgh. All right, Tennessee. Tennessee's one that needs to band together too. Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Tennessee, LA, the LA Chargers. And, you know, because I would normally say Philly, but Philly banded together and beat Green Bay last night. Now, part of the reason I picked Philly, in a just for fun kind of, it's not really a charity, but in a pick'em league that I'm in where we pick games every week, I kind of used one of my betting rules, even though I don't bet anymore. If a majority of people, I have a certain percentage in my head, if a majority of people who have already picked the game pick one side, I take the other. For one, you can't win if you all pick the same thing. And two, if you think teams are equal, a.k.a. the Tennessee Atlanta, a.k.a. Philadelphia Green Bay, I think those teams are pretty close to each other, then to me the records didn't mean anything. So I took Philly because the group that I'm in, 90% of the people who had already picked the game picked Green Bay. Now, in the back of my mind, especially as a Cowboys fan, do I want Philadelphia to lose and Green Bay to win? Yeah, I do. But also root for a good game and for chaos. Chaos is for the Eagles to win. I took the Eagles. Their offensive and defensive line are still superior to anybody. But for anybody also that tries to blame Aaron Rodgers for that loss, we'll have none of that. Aaron Rodgers had one of the best games he's had in a long time. He had receivers who dropped passes. Obviously, he can't play linebacker. He can't punt. He plays his position. Miscues by somebody else on the team, you can't put on him. Now, partial blame, he threw a couple balls he shouldn't have. But Carson Wentz had an equally good day, and nobody's talking about that. They were able to just absolutely grind and grind and grind and just pound the ball and run and run and run. And that great Green Bay defense had no answer. No answer at all. But super good game. You know, usually Thursday night games are throwaway games. These two teams came to play, and play they did. Just, if we can get, I don't know, one of those every other Thursday, that'd be fantastic. I don't have the schedule in front of me to tell you what next week's Thursday game is. But if it's even half that good, I'm in. I'm going to go through the picks real quick from last week and how Corey stacked up against me, and then we'll go through the ones that Akil made, and we'll go about our merry way into the Friday nights. Last week, like I said, Miami fan Corey Barney was our guest picker. Let's see. He started off strong. Corey had Minnesota over Oakland. Great call. He had Kansas City over Baltimore. Another really tight one, but yep. And then he hit a slump. He took Atlanta over Indy. Didn't work out for him. That made him 2-1. And he ended up 2-2 because he took the Chargers over Houston. And Houston was able to take that one. Now, I started off 1-0 as well because I took Minnesota. I actually took Baltimore. Kansas City won that one. So I was at 1-1. Went to 1-2 because I also took Atlanta. And then I took Houston when he took the Chargers. So we both ended up 2-2. I've already seen him this week as well. And I congratulate him on a good week. It's hard to pick these games. If you guys remember, I went 0-4 in the first week. But I appreciate Corey being a part of the show, and look forward to him being again down the road. Maybe everybody that does guest picks, we do some sort of Super Bowl thing down the road or something. I don't know. We'll figure something out. But definitely appreciate it, and maybe we'll get him some swag just as soon as we get those printed up. As I said, Dallas Cowboys super fan and great friend of the shows, Akil Coleman, is making the picks this week. And we'll just go game by game. We have the New England Patriots at the Buffalo Bills. We're talking about two 3-0 teams. Yes, I said the Buffalo Bills are 3-0 and look pretty darn good against those New England Patriots. I went against one of my rules here, but it's because I believe in them. He took the New England Patriots. I took the Buffalo Bills. So we'll see how that one plays out. That's going to be really fun. I think that one's on television here locally. Hopefully it is. If not, I'm going to find some way to try to watch that one. We both took the Tennessee Titans over the Atlanta Falcons. I use the same rule I did on Thursday Night Football. Everybody thinks that Atlanta's going to roll this one. I think it's going to be a lot closer than people think. We're talking 27-24, somewhere in there. I think Tennessee's going to pick up the victory there, and so did Akil. We also both took Baltimore at home as they host Cleveland. Cleveland needs a band together, but they're not going to beat Baltimore at this juncture. The hype was way above what Cleveland actually is and does. And until they get their act together, I'm not counting them in this game. And then lastly, I always give the guest picker the opportunity to include his team's game or not. Akil said absolutely he wanted to pick the Dallas game this week. It is the Sunday Night Football matchup. It is the Dallas Cowboys going to the Superdome to take on the New Orleans Saints. No shocker there. He took Dallas. And as much as I wanted to take the Saints, I took Dallas as well. So the only game we disagree on is New England-Buffalo, but I think I just said Buffalo, but we just feel like we both agree the Cowboys are rolling too good right now. I like Teddy Bridgewater. I think they're opening up the playbook a little more for him with the Saints, but the Saints' defense has been shaky at times, and I think Dak is going to just rip them apart. But to recap, we both have Dallas on the road over New Orleans. We both have Baltimore at home over Cleveland. We both have Tennessee on the road against Atlanta. And I took Buffalo at home. He took New England on the road for that one. Appreciate Akil throwing in his picks this week. And that's going to do it for us. I am Jeremy the Impact York. This has been Sports Club Band Together. See you guys next week. Deuces, gooses.
Make them back it up. Make them back it up. Back it up. I got them shaking their boobies like Congo, man. I'm shaking the city like Quake, man. Haters blue in the face like Gonzo. Cause I'm drinking the cake, so let's bake. I'm taking the game's mine. Yeah, I witness the change, it's my time. Yeah, I'm new to the game, but y'all might wanna say you whack raps, daylight saving time. I can dance, homie, I don't two-step. Yeah, I'm looking at something like a troop, yeah. A girl told me that a man that could dance might could possibly get down with the tool in his pants. Now I'm a lady, let me see it vibrate. And when it's over, you ain't gonna need your